When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. This is the news, according to me. It is August 31st, 9:36, almost 9:37, Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, August 31st, 2021. I got in late last night, about 1:30. In the morning. Flights were delayed. Along the East Coast, especially in the southern part of the state, southern part of the country, southeast part of the country, flights are all messed up because of the storms. Caused by the remnants of Ida. Prayers go out to the folks that were affected by that storm. Help is on the way, and it's not necessarily coming from the government. We have I've had a somber tone to my shows lately, and I think there's a good reason for that, by the way. It's because I think our nation is in a crisis point. I don't know how much the church realizes it or recognizes it. I have no idea. I really don't. I think that really that this is a time for the church to be involved in what's going on in the world. And I think it's a critical time, in fact, in my opinion, that that the church step up and step forward. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Oh, you know the thing, Joe. Joe knows the thing. I think he knew it at one time. He can't even remember plagiarizing. You know, he doesn't have an original bone in his body. This guy's leading the country, and we know he's not leading the country. This guy's in the office of a leader, and he's not a leader. I've been instructed to call on certain people. My handlers, my people, my puppet masters told me to call on these people here, and they told me what the questions were, and I got the answers written right here. This is like I've said many times, this is political theater. It's a show. And along that route, after the bombing went off, they knew that they had to do something to make themselves look tough again, to make Joe look decisive and tough. So they went out and blew up a truck. that supposedly had an ISIS-K planner. The ISIS-K planner. We're not giving out any names, by the way. Can't give the names of these individuals that we killed. And then there was another truck with an ISIS-K. ISIS-K planners had a truck. And that truck was on its way to the airport. And we shot it down. We shot it up. No word on casualties there. Can't give you the names of those people either. And of course, the Taliban made a big deal about the fact that they killed a little girl. They killed a little girl. It's their political theater on their side. Well, there were little girls that were killed by ISIS, by the terrorists. Remember when it was ISIL there for about 5 minutes? It was ISIL. Obama came out and made sure he called it ISIL because he didn't want to offend them. Then it was ISIS again. Then it was ISIS no more for about 4 years there. And then all of a sudden, ISIS is back in the news. But this time it's ISIS-K. It's a variant. Everything's a variant. This is the variant news, according to me, and I have a variant in my cup. It's this morning I have hot chocolate with Cinnabon creamer to soothe my soul. Anyway, so there's this guy. There's a couple of little things that I want to talk about today. Little things. One is this issue of impeaching Joe. There are a whole lot of people talking right now about impeaching Joe Biden. People on the right. Now, I had a show about this recently. I have my opinion about it, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I don't want to be Sean Hannity and just have the same show over and over and over and over, say the same things over and over and over, and then invite a guest on and interrupting with all my talking points. I appreciate Sean. Don't get me wrong. He's glad he's does what he does. Does it very well, I guess. People listen to him. But he's making more money than I am doing this, which doesn't say anything. He could be making nothing and probably still be making more. Which brings me to another issue, but I digress on that one. You won't even know what it is. I'm seriously thinking about, I've said this before. For those of you who follow me, you know that I'm seriously considering giving up my other, this is in air quotes, you can't see it, but I'm saying job, my other job, which had been paying very well, and then there was issues, you know, because of COVID, and now it doesn't pay so well. And I actually do better independently on my own with my own little job, my own little side business, I call it. It's actually my front business that's been taking a beating because I've been so busy with this other stupid business that now it doesn't make, this other job that doesn't make any money. It's very frustrating. Very, extremely frustrating. Driving me crazy, actually. Because the quality of the job, other job I'm doing, is impossible to maintain because of choices that the company is making. And it's gotten to the point where, I have very little ability to change that, to affect that. And I don't think staying there, for me, is helping the matter. Because I'm not in a position to affect change in that respect. I have moved into a slightly different position with the company, which I can change some of the culture in some areas. But for the most part, I have to say I'm very disappointed. This was a company I worked for many years ago, probably 15 years ago. I started 20 years ago. over 20 years ago. Worked there for many years, and then it was the only company I worked for that long. I'd never worked for a company that long before, for any one business. And for various reasons. But I left, and I decided when I went back to that industry that was the company that I decided to go back to because, well, for various reasons. I appreciated the company. I appreciated their work ethic, quality of what they put out. It's a very different company, and I didn't expect it to be exactly the same 12 years later. But the way I've seen them treat their people in the last year has been really, really frustrating. And now some of the business decisions they're making is also an issue. But I digress. These people are talking about impeaching Joe Biden. And I see more and more Republicans doing this. Now, like, I guess the Florida Republican Party in Florida is calling for his impeachment. This is a very sticky wicket. And this is a chess game being played with this guy. Now, you realize there are a lot of people in the establishment Republican Party in Washington who are weighing out the, quote, ramifications of impeaching this guy. Because, you know, old Joe, good old Joe, everybody just thinks he's just a good old guy. He's such a nice man. What happened in Afghanistan is straight up criminal. You want to talk about impeaching somebody for a phone call, for pressuring someone for an investigation into criminal activity of a former White House official and who is now supposedly occupying the White House. That somehow that was a corrupt deal. Oh, you're going after a political opponent. Yeah. And then you guys try to impeach him for going after him. So you guys are going after a political opponent. This, you know, it's a whole double standard thing. And I've talked about that before. I don't even pretend to act like they care about double standards on the left. That's their modus operandi. That is the way they operate. Double standards are just a means to an end, and it's the end justifies the means with them. That's just all there is to it. And they got the media on their side. They never call them out on accountability. And I'm not even going to go into that because it's worthless. That's not even a part of their moral fabric. That just runs off of them like water off a duck's back. I've never actually seen water run off a duck's back, but I'm pretty sure it probably does. It's like it probably just beads up and just runs right off. So we have this political theater going on. Not one single person is going to be held accountable for what happened in Afghanistan. Not one single person. And the only person who's been punished so far, and this was on Tucker the other night, the only person that's been punished so far is a particular Marine who was a higher-ranking officer in the Marines, came out. And this is someone who served on the ground there. His opinion should be respected. He came out and criticized what was going on over there. And in the process, found himself facing a court-martial. So they backed down on the court-martial, demoted him. They made a deal of some kind. And so they would not pursue court-martial any further. But now he is resigning. He only has like 3 years left and he gets full pension. And he's foregoing all of that. Walking away. And all he wanted was accountability. He wanted someone to stand up to it, to own up to it. They will not do that. So we have this guy, this guy named General Milley, I guess is his name. And I'm going to play this for you, and I hope it plays. I hope it plays okay. Let's see what it does here. I have it on. Let's see if it's loud enough for you to hear.
It was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this army and this government in 11 days.
Let's be very clear. Listen to exactly what he says there. There was nothing that I or anyone else in this government. Really? Would have known that this collapse was going to happen in 11 days. Now, let's be very clear here. He was very specific about what he said. I or anyone else in this government. Military and the deep state are not considered government. I think he's talking about elected officials. And he used this term, this guy's a consummate professional in being a pompous I'm not going to. He's a pompous bleep hole. I've known people like this before. They are people who have no business being in any kind of seat of authority or power. They love to hear themselves speak. And they think they are so well-read and intelligent. And actually, the opposite is very true. This reminds me of someone who, this is a little side story, because, you know, that's what I do here. That's really what my job is, to tell the side stories. I just, you know, the main story isn't really a big deal. It's the side stories that, I know that's why you tune in. I know that's why you listen to this show. A side story. I heard this lady the other day, it was on a little program. She was talking on, going on and on about how she, you know, she was obviously a very high maintenance individual. She was talking about how she always cares for everyone else around her so much that she neglects herself. She's so caring, and she cares about everybody, and she takes care of everybody else. She spends all of her time caring about everybody else, and she never takes care of herself. So she just had to do a little bit of something for herself. Little me time. Little thing that she was going to do for herself. I got news for you. Okay, I know she's a human being. Everybody's a human being, and we're all susceptible to our own little blind spots. You know, it dawned on me as she was saying all this stuff that someone who really cares about everyone else genuinely and has that as a part of their character doesn't say that they need to do something for themselves. You'll never hear them say, oh, I just need some me time. I've been caring. They won't tell you how much they care. They care so much about everybody else that they have to have some me time. That's just not a part of their nature. That's not a part of their character. If that is truly who you are, you will not make a statement like that. It flies against it. And this is like someone saying, "Why, I'm just so humble. I have to tell you how humble I am. Because I'm really proud of it, how humble I am." Yeah. This is a personality disorder. That's what this is. And I guarantee you, this individual this is one of those people who, when they help someone else, they make a big deal out of it. Let everybody else around them know how much they've done for someone else. That's the kind of person that does this kind of thing. You could just tell by the way she acted that that's what she was doing. Look at me, I'm just caring for everybody. I care for everybody all the time. I'm in charge and I'm large and in charge and I take care of everybody else around me. I'm always taking care of. No, you're a bossy individual who runs everybody else's life. That's what you are. And you think you're taking care of everybody else around you, and now you have to have some me time. That's exactly what the personality type is that we're talking about here. The kind of selfless, caring people that you don't ever hear spouting off about how much they take care of everybody else around them. You'll never hear it from them. There have been some people in my life like that. And I never recognized it at the time and probably never thanked them enough for it. And I try to look for those opportunities to thank people like that because it's rare. Seems to be more rare today than it used to be. That was my side story. So General Milley makes this statement, 11 days. Of course, the joke there that comes to my mind is, yeah, they all figured it would happen in 12. They were all putting bets on it. Nobody had their number. Nobody had their money on 11. Everybody else had 12 or 13 or 10. Oddly enough, nobody in this government was betting on 11. There were plenty of people in intel telling them that this thing was going to collapse quickly. They chose to ignore it. Biden himself came out and said it would take at least three, we were expecting it to be at least 3 months before the Taliban took over. A month ago in a press conference, sir, you told us that you had. Emphatically, you said, you were asked the question, will the Taliban take over? You said, no. They're 300,000 strong. They have a military that's 300,000 strong, one of the best equipped, well-trained armies in the world. Gone. 11 days. They just simply laid down their weapons and left. We had 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. This was not a war. Folks, I keep hearing people say that it's the nation's longest war. Well, are we still at war with North Korea? Was there ever a treaty signed there? I'm pretty sure that war is still going on. Unless I'm mistaking, I'm mistaking my history here somewhere. I'm pretty sure that there is still a war there going on. We have troops there. We've had troops there for over 50 years. I think that's our longest war. So I'm not sure about this Afghanistan thing. And I'm not exactly sure. You know, I don't even know that we declared war on Afghanistan. It was the war on Al-Qaeda that the Taliban was harboring in Afghanistan, which they have, you know, that supposedly they don't like each other. As one military pundit said recently, he said, they are two feathers on the same bird. They may not get along, but at the end of the day, they're still fighting for the same cause. I want you to think about it. Let's just say you're of that persuasion, that you sympathize with them, or that maybe you are one. Maybe there's an ISIS guy listening to me right now. Maybe you're ISIS-K. Maybe you're ISIL. Maybe you're Taliban. I don't care what you are. That's irrelevant. What kind of mentality and what kind of God are you worshiping were killing and maiming someone else in the name of your God. Is putting you higher on the totem pole, as you would say. Maybe that's not a statement that's allowed anymore. Putting you higher in your rank with your God somehow because you've killed more people. But of course, people say, well, the Old Testament has the... That's the yeah, that's right. It does. Do we want to go by that? If we want to go by that, then let's go by that. Let's talk about real justice and not vigilante. This is vigilante justice on steroids. It's all based on a lie. What God had the nation of Israel do was as an instrument of his justice. And in fact, if they disobeyed him, they were punished when they executed his justice. We're living in a very tumultuous time. Very confusing time. And until you understand the nature of what justice is, it will be even more confusing. The lines are not always black and white. So General Milley comes out and says this, and here's the whole point of this whole thing I'm seriously doubting anything that news media is telling us, especially when they jump out there to say really quickly that, oh, look, this is what they're doing now. They're making decisive moves, and we're doing this and doing that. Can't give you the names of anybody who can't say anything about it. We just have to make it look good. And, of course, Biden comes out and talks about Ida. The full force of the government is now going to help you. Talking to a guy yesterday made a really good point. We had a few hundred people that wanted to right a wrong on our nation's capital. They didn't want to take over the government. They wanted to correct the government. They wanted the government to do its job, to serve the people, not to have the people serve the government. It is the right of the people to overthrow such government, according to our founders, because they understood individual liberty. The pompous bleeps that we have on the Capitol Hill right now do not understand individual liberty. They think they are the government. They think that building that they operate in up on a hill is the citadel, the temple of democracy. No, democracy is in the people. Democracy means people. If they want to talk about democracy, what we have is a democratic process that establishes a republic, a representative government, because we already have all the rights we need. They go there to protect them, not to figure out a way to weasel around them and to subvert them, which is exactly what they're doing, which is exactly what they took an oath not to do. That is called a domestic enemy. So there's these calls now to impeach Joe. Here's the tricky part of this whole thing. Oh, by the way, I wasn't finished with that story. These guys go up to the White House, you know, the Capitol building. Next thing you know, we clamp down with 50,000 National Guard troops, whole thing, spending tons of money, tons of time, effort to bring in troops to protect the Capitol. Protect the criminals. I mean, protect the politicians. In the meantime, we send 5,000 troops to Afghanistan to get our nation's some of our U.S. citizens out, and they come out with these extremely large. Now we've extricated 127,000 people out of Afghanistan now. Yeah. 4,700 of those were U.S. citizens. At the time they made that announcement, there was an estimated 12,000 citizens, U.S. citizens, contractors, laborers, that kind of thing, in Afghanistan. They didn't even have half of them out. And they had already taken out 120-some thousand nationals. Now they're saying they left about 100. Well, they think there's about 100 people that didn't make it to the airport on the last flight out. Military's last flight out. Excuse me. 100 people. There are people on the ground there. There are some guys on the ground there who are running missions to get people out. Former military individuals, retired people that formerly worked for the military. They're running missions, covert missions, to get people out of there. Now, they claim there are thousands left that are U.S. citizens. We're talking contractors. We're talking people who lived there before, came here, got their U.S. citizenship, went back there for whatever family reasons they were there for whatever reason, but have U.S. citizenship. They went through the process, got legal citizenship here, and they were just left. Left behind. Oh, but they're not stranded. No, we can't say that's irresponsible to say that they're stranded. I'm amazed that Jen Psaki has lasted as long as she has. She's getting very good now at being sassy. And it does not look good on her at all. It looks like this extremely nice administration is anything but that. Of course, it's just, you know, to certain people. Well, if you don't go along with our agenda, we're going to treat you like, you know, we're going to make it look like you're just, whatever. All right, enough about that. Impeach Joe. So we're going to impeach Joe. So here's the sticky wicket that we get into. And the Dems are going to play this. They know that there's a couple different ways that the Republicans are going to go with this, and they're prepared for either way because they got their talking points, and the media is all going to be in the tank with them. They're going to say, "This is what we're going to say about this now. This is how we're going to play this out." And here's how it goes. If they impeach Joe now, it would take Democrats to do that. You'd have to have some Democrats on board. That will not happen. They are lockstep together. If there is an overwhelming landslide in 2022 and the Republicans take back the House and they take the Senate with an overwhelming majority, and they then go to impeach Joe Biden, there are probably some Republicans that will not vote for that. I'm just guessing, Mitt Romney. Liz Cheney. Maybe she'll be out of office. There's a couple different ways this can play out. We have the election in November. and there's a landslide. And Nancy realizes that Joe's going down. So they pull a fast one. They invoke the 25th. Oh, poor Joe. They become very benevolent about it. Oh, this is what's best for Joe. We're going to have a ceremony honoring his service to our nation. His scores of years in politics and all the good that he's done. Look at everything he's done for the country. Oh, by the way, they hate the country because it's such a terrible place. But you were the one who was in charge of it for 25, 30, 40, whatever, 50 years. I don't know how long you've been there, since the Nixon administration. And yet you want to get accolades for everything you've done for the nation. This nation that you say is so terrible. If we have such a horrible nation, this racist, horrible nation, don't look at anybody but yourselves. You've been in charge. You've been leading this country for umpteen years. Yeah. It's called race baiting. They have to have racial tension in order to keep their lives going, their livelihood. It's pathetic. So they invoke. They have a special council after the election, and they or a special meeting of Congress, and they invoke the 25th. And of course, the Senate will go along with that. They'll have it all planned out. So then they'll install Kamala, and that's the end of the impeachment. Or maybe they'll put somebody else in besides Kamala. It's not necessarily there is provision in the law for the Democrat Party to appoint someone else as president. It could be Hillary Clinton. I don't think they will do that. But it's whoever the deep state has enough information on to control. I'll guarantee you that. Once they've done that, that the whole impeachment thing goes away. Now, the establishment would love that because it makes them, it takes them out of the loop. Now, if they go after Kamala, of course, they're a misogynist racist. So now she's doubly protected. Obama was protected because if you disagreed with his policy, you were a racist. If you disagree with Kamala's policy, you're going to be a misogynist and a racist. So she's got like double protection, like double cootie protection. Now, and she's, this job, even the job of vice president is way over her head. She has no idea what she's doing. She is so out of her league with this position. Unbelievable. Yeah. So she, this is the conundrum we have. And of course, the one of the things the Republicans hate about this is that if Joe leaves, Kamala steps in. And that's even worse. So, because, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Joe is not waking up in the morning, large and in charge, giving his agenda out to everybody, telling them what they're going to do for the day. He just gets up and he goes wherever they tell him to, says whatever they tell him to say, or, you know, blabs on. If he goes off script, he gets in trouble. He gets yelled at by his staff, his handlers. Oh, my staff is going to be upset with me for saying this, for answering questions. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but I'll go ahead and take one. You're not supposed to. You're the leader of the free world, buddy. You had 81 million people supposedly vote for you. And you got people telling you what you're going to do? Now, I'm all about servant leadership. Don't get me wrong. But this is not servant leadership. This is just lackeyism. It's baloney. So Joe is, so if they do impeach Joe, if Joe is still around by 2022, which I don't even think he's going to be there. I mean, a lot can happen between now and the 2022 election. We're talking almost a year away. A little over a year. So many things can happen. Now, I know we are headed for rampant inflation. We're already seeing inflation now, but it's going to be rampant here in a little bit. It's going to be even worse, exponential. So now we're talking about, you know, and of course they've got the variant. They have to keep people locked down, separated, shut them up. Don't hang out at church. Church is going to shut down church again. They are talking about a second shutdown. There are people in the wings talking about this. I don't think they're going to get away with it. I think the political powers that be know that if they try to do that, this isn't going to work. So we have this booster shot now that they're talking about, which is going to play a part in the whole scenario here. The establishment Republicans are worried that there's going to be backlash to him if they try to impeach Joe. They try to impeach a president, and they're going to take a whooping in the next one, in the next election. I got news for you. The reason you will take a whooping this time is if you do nothing. And I kid you not. This is people are wising up to this. There's a lot of buyer's remorse going on. That's all I'm going to say. So, I'm just saying it's a tricky political maneuver when we start talking about impeaching Joe Biden. If Donald Trump would have done any one of the 12 things that Joe Biden has done to ruin this country in the last 8 months, there would have been 100 articles of impeachment on the table already. They had articles of impeachment drawn up the day that Trump took office. They submitted them the first day of Congress. They tried to impeach him twice in this most recent play. This January 6th commission was just impeachment 3.0. That's all it was. It's pathetic, and it's disgusting. Nancy Pelosi is nothing but a pawn who thinks that she's a queen. And unfortunately, she's sitting on the throne of Congress. She wants to act like she's everybody's boss there and tell them what to do. Because that's the way she acts with everybody in the country. She thinks that Congress is our boss. They're going to tell us what they're our parents. They're going to tell us what to do. They know best. And I struggle with this whole vaccine thing. And if one of the things that makes me probably the most uncomfortable about it is the way they're forcing it on people. It would be a lot easier for me to accept this if it was something that I chose to do. But the mere fact that they're pushing it on people and making you a second-class citizen if you don't get it. They're going to penalize you, punish you, restrict you for not getting it. All in the name of protecting grandma. I'm sorry. That's not flying with me. That is not flying with me. Because Because it doesn't add up. First of all, here's one of the things that has come out, and it's really caused me to question a lot. We had Joe Biden saying, if you get the vaccine, in fact, I just downloaded a bunch of Joe Biden quotes, and I didn't get to weed through them all, little speeches that he made right about the time that this was all going on. I know that one of those, that statement is in one of those speeches, and I'm going to sift through there and get it for you. If you get the vaccine, you're not going to, listen, if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. Now we find out that you can get COVID, and you can carry COVID and not know it, and that you're more susceptible to the variant, which means you're a super spreader of the variant. Now, I'm not just talking out of my off the top of my head here. Have you asked the question? If you got the vaccine and you're in enclosed areas, why are they asking you to wear a mask? First of all, if masks were so effective, why hasn't this virus been stopped? Secondly, if you've had the vaccine that's supposed to protect you and everybody around you, why do you have to wear a mask? Recent studies, by the way, and this is why they won't talk about it. Masks are at best 4 to 5% effective on a virus. At best. And we're talking N95s. Little cloth surgical masks that everybody wears. I know this is very controversial, but it's in terms of virology, not talking about bacteria. They are extremely effective against bacterial transfer, like 90-some percent. I think the N95s are actually based on 95% effectiveness in bacterial transfer. I think that's why they're called an N95. Viral transmission. You have to understand viruses are tiny. Bacteria is small. Viruses are even smaller. Much, much smaller. It's estimated in some studies that depending on how the mask is worn and what you do with it, how you handle it, it could be negative effective. In other words, could cause transmission of the virus or make it more transmissible. I'm just saying. Much of the research and much of the information that we used to freely just, you know, used to be you just say Google it. And you'd come up with, you know, you'd put something in Google and it would just pop up. This was when Google was, you know, fairly young. There were no algorithms. There were transient something. I don't know what it's called now. There's an interesting book. And I wish I could remember the name of it. This guy who used to work at Google, he's very, very inside of Google, and he understood what was going on, and he understands what's happening now with the whole information thing in Google and everything is happening there with how the technology is fascinating, and we're almost at a point where I should play part of his interview. Mr. Reagan had an interview with him recently, and he was talking about some of the things that where we're at with the technology and where we're going to be in 5 years. And it's alarming. You know where AI is going. Now, I don't believe in AI. I believe that there's no such thing as artificial intelligence. I think what we're labeling artificial intelligence is actually programmed intelligence or programmed learning, where a computer can teach itself something. That's fine. But it has to be programmed to learn that. And it has to be a core philosophy behind it. It has to be a core structure for it to learn those things. And that core philosophy, that core value has to be done by a human. Because it can only do what it's programmed to do. So Again, I need to get my conspiracy theory channel going because it delves more into this kind of thing. So I'm going to kind of leave it here. And I've covered a variety of things here, but it's I'm just going to say that the booster, if this is so effective, first of all, if the vaccine was so effective. Now I understand that there are the one person that I trust that I've talked to about hospitalizations said that the ICU, the percentage of the people in the ICU who had been vaccinated, who were in the ICU, I think was less than 20% of the people who were in there had been vaccinated. The other 80% of the people who were there in ICU who had COVID were not vaccinated. Now, this is one little sample from one hospital. There are some questions about that. I mean, those numbers can also be a little bit skewed. There are some variations there, and those are numbers that are being reported by the hospital. And how they're defining some of those things. I mean, I could question a lot of those things. I would want to dig a little deeper into those numbers to know exactly what's going on. I'm just going to say that. I'm not saying those numbers are incorrect or that. I'm just saying that that sounds about right. But at the same time, I wonder how those numbers were calculated. So we have that. So I don't disagree that the vaccine may be helping people be less sick if they get sick. But here's an issue. What if the vaccine is causing you to be more of a spreader of COVID? Why are we with the population, the size of the population that we have vaccinated right now? Why are we seeing a spike at a time that we normally wouldn't see a spike? Now, in Florida, they were expecting a spike because everybody's inside down in the air conditioning. Whereas in the wintertime, everybody's outside more. How is it that we're seeing this spike that we were told wasn't going to happen, that COVID was going to... And I think that they have this idea. Some people, even in Australia, where they're an island, they think that they can somehow get a zero-sum game out of this. You are never... COVID's not going away. The best thing we could be putting our money into, instead of throwing billions and billions and probably trillions of dollars into AstraZeneca and all these other companies that are making billions of dollars off of this thing, we should be developing therapeutics that are affordable. And they exist to this day. Ivermectin, for one. There are things that can be done therapeutically and even prophylactically to protect against this thing. Why are we not throwing trillions of dollars into that? Because it wouldn't just help with COVID, it would help with so many other things. The kind of symptoms you get with COVID are very similar to some other respiratory diseases, even the common cold. Common cold will never go away, by the way, because it has animal reservoirs. So does COVID. It will never go away. Tampering with our immune systems in trying to fight this thing, in my opinion, could very likely bring about variants that are not susceptible to a vaccine. Even the CEO of Pfizer has said that. That's not my idea. He has said that. Eventually, inevitably, there will be a variant that a vaccine will not protect against. It may not be a year, it may not be 10 years, but inevitably it will happen. I could get into the whole thing again, but I went about the cytotoxins, spike proteins, all the different things that I know nothing about, but I can say all the big words. I'm not going to get into that right now because, you know, it's been an hour. I appreciate you listening to all my blabbering. We are closing in on the hour here, the Tuesday morning hour. I might have another show later today just because I just need a day to just talk about this a lot. Got a lot to talk about. As I've said, this is therapy for me, and I appreciate you listening. Even if you're not listening, I just appreciate you, you know, me imagining that you're out there. It's, you know, in my little world here, I imagine that there's probably, a million people out there listening to me, that it's making a difference. But maybe if you shared it with two friends, if you shared this with two friends and they shared it with two friends and those two friends shared it with two friends and two friends, kind of like a pyramid scheme, you know, eventually there'd be millions of people listening to this, like as if it would matter. God bless everybody. Have a great day.